There's an old classic movie called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and in it, there's a posse that's pursuing Butch and Sundance as they try to work their way to escape, and day after day after day, the posse is always there. You can't shake them. And I'm not sure whether it's Butch who turns to Sundance or Sundance that turns to Butch, but one of them says, "Who are those guys?" Well, that's the situation that the Mets find themselves in. Who are these guys that have forged a 24-20 record in the National League East with a cast of no-names, people you never expected to be on this team, and yet they hold a 2.5-game lead on both the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves and 3 on the Miami Marlins right now, with the Washington Nationals sitting in last place. It's kind of incomprehensible how they're doing this, but they're doing it. In the last 6 games, they've scored a total of 12 runs. That's averaging 2 runs a game, and yet they've won 3 of the 6 games. On a day when they should have been pretty down because of all the injuries, they have 17 players right now on the injured list. They got some rather devastating news about Noah Syndergaard, but it didn't seem to faze them. They threw out a game 1 outfield left to right of Drury, Corbin, and McKinney, names that you never heard of, secondary names, maybe tertiary names on a lot of teams, and yet they still got the job done. They've been doing it with pitching. They've been doing it with great defense. And you have to give them credit, sitting where they're sitting. They haven't pulled away from anybody, but this is going to help them in the long run because they're incorporating a lot of people into the mix. And those people will add to their depth later on when they finally do get some of the names back on the roster. Let's start with Syndergaard here because just the other day he left his second rehab start, which was supposed to be 4 innings, after 1 inning with what was called elbow discomfort. Well, come to find out that that discomfort was serious enough for them to shut him down for 6 weeks. No throwing whatsoever for 6 weeks. So that's rather serious. This is a guy that they expected back probably mid-June, somewhere around June 20th or so. The idea was for him to do 2 4-inning stints, then 2 5-inning stints, then 2 6-inning stints to make sure, totally sure, that he was okay, which would place him getting back somewhere around the mid-June or the June 20th mark, thereabouts. Now, well, it's going to take you into August, basically, because you got to not throw for 6 weeks, and then you're going to have to start from scratch and ramp up again. That's probably another 6 weeks right there. So you're probably looking at mid-August at best or late August, and that puts a crimp in Syndergaard's future as well, too. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Now, it may very well turn out to be that because of that, he remains a Met because he's not going to have that much time to show exactly what he can do. And the Mets were counting on him to come back and give them a big boost sometime around the All-Star break. Well, it looks like they may be lucky to get Carlos Carrasco back by the All-Star break, and now Syndergaard is going to be bumped into August. So the Mets are going to have to make do with what they have right now, and it's going to hurt their depth, obviously, and guys they can count on, you know, as 5th, 6th, 7th, even 8th options. But this is their lot in life right now, and it's bad news for Syndergaard, bad news for the Mets, but Mets are going to have to look at it like something like Steven Matz back in 2015 when Matz came up. Syndergaard came up earlier in the season. Matz joined them sometime in August and gave them a big boost as well. So if it works out that way, fine. But it was a tough blow to listen to that today and hear that Syndergaard is going to be, you know, pushed back. But listen, coming off Tommy John surgery, it's the sensible thing to do. All right, good news. I guess Taijuan Walker would be good news. We'll start there because Walker threw live BP on Tuesday, played catch on Wednesday, had a touch and feel on Thursday, and felt pretty good. So he is the scheduled starter for Game 1 of the Braves series on Friday night, and they really need Taijuan Walker back in the rotation right now. You know, this is a rotation that's basically down to 4 guys at this point. You have Jacob deGrom, who's now back in the rotation. He's going to pitch Sunday. You have David Peterson, and you have Marcus Stroman, who threw another terrific game today. 2 7-inning doubleheaders, but Stroman went the first six. He was masterful in those six. They gave the ball to Edwin Diaz, who's been terrific. He closed it out in game one. And then they pieced things together in the nightcap with Joey Lucchese starting. And Lucchese looks like an option, one that's not going to go very long in games, but if you can kind of cobble a bullpen behind Lucchese and maybe get some long stints when it's a 9-inning game from Sean Reed Foley or Robert Gesellman. Gesellman did pitch today as well. You're going to be okay. Yuri's Familia was very good today as well, too. So, you know, the bullpen has been a real plus. I think we know that. But those are the guys you can count on. David Peterson is going to pitch Saturday against the Atlanta Braves. He's had an up-and-down season, but he has shown glimmers that he can, you know, be part of this rotation and stick in this rotation for quite some time. And the Mets are going to have to do with that right now, unless they can go out and make a deal sometime around the trading deadline and maybe get a veteran arm in here for the stretch run. But having Taijuan Walker back at this point in time, that's a big plus because, as I mentioned, Carlos Carrasco is not going to be around for a while. It's going to be some time. That hamstring injury that he suffered was obviously very serious, a little more serious than maybe Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto, but neither one of those guys is coming back soon as well. So let's run down guys who might be close. Probably the closest is Pete Alonso. He's eligible to come off the DL on Saturday. Is he going to? No, I don't think so. They're going to send him for a couple of rehab starts, I believe. But right-hand sprain is coming along pretty well. So Alonso's probably the closest, you would think. And after a couple of rehab starts, probably at Syracuse, Alonso will be back. As I said, he can come off Saturday, but I doubt very much whether he is going to. He'll probably join them sometime on the road trip when they go to Arizona and San Diego next week. McNeil and Conforto. McNeil has the left hamstring. Conforto has the right hamstring, as you heard. As you heard the general manager of the Mets mention the other day, both guys are probably going to be sometime late in June. We never really got a grade strain of the hamstring. They kind of held that back from us, but at the same time, it's rather serious, and both are, they're going to be careful with both, and they'll probably both have to do some rehab as well after sitting out for so long. But McNeil and Conforto are still going to be a while. Brandon Nimmo has the nerve problem with the index finger. That's bothering him right now. He's still a ways away. Luis Guillorme, remember him? He's got the oblique injury, and obliques take a long time. Well, that's taken a long time as well, too. J.D. Davis, how about him? Well, he returned to New York for treatment on the left-hand sprain that he had after a couple of games of rehab in Syracuse. Right now, it looks like J.D. might start swinging Saturday or Sunday. He's still a ways away as well. He'll have to go back for some more rehab. Can he join the team sometime on the road trip? That's likely, but I doubt very much whether you're going to see him before the weekend is out. As I said, he's going to start swinging on Saturday and Sunday, probably some rehab, and then maybe join them in San Diego at the end of the trip. Jhenasway Fargas, he's got the left AC joint sprain. He's probably going to be a while. Rest and treatment for him. It's non-surgical for now, so hopefully it remains that way. Albert Almora Jr., left shoulder contusion. Both of those guys hit the fence in just about the same spot at Citi Field. Both of them are going to be a while. Maybe the closest guy of all is Seth Lugo. And Lugo, ironically enough, had surgery on his elbow, but Lugo will probably be back here, I would imagine, for the road trip. He provides an interesting possibility simply because you can stretch him out to be a starter. I don't think the Mets are going to do that, but it's something that they can think about anyway, depending on how the rotation works out and whether guys can stay healthy and be competitive in that rotation. Lugo can do it, but you're going to have to stretch him out. Right now, he's, you know, working on being a member of the bullpen. I think that's where he's most valuable, at least to me. I think he's most valuable there. That's where he'll start. You can stretch him out there as well. But we'll see how they, you know, handle Lugo at this point. But he's going to be back soon. So I guess, ironically, after the surgery that he had on the elbow, he's going to be one of the first ones back from this massive injured list that they have. All right, who are other guys? Jordan Yamamoto, he's on the 60-day right now. He's got shoulder soreness. Tommy Hunter with the lower back pain, making some progress there. Kevin Pillar, I think we know about him. He's still going to be a while, obviously, with the facial fractures and the nose surgery, the nasal surgery that he had to have. He's still going to be a while, but he'll be back eventually as well. Dellen Betances even made an appearance on the last road trip when they were down in Florida. He's got the shoulder impingement, making some progress, going to be a while for him as well. And remember Jose Martinez, when he got hurt in spring training, everybody kind of forgot about him. He had the torn meniscus in the left knee, bumping with the umpire down there. We may see Martinez at one point, who even knows, but they talked about him sometime maybe around the All-Star break or thereabouts, so I don't know if we'll see Jose Martinez or not, but he's on that injured list as well. I think that covers everybody. I'm not sure. You lose track when you have 17 people there, but give the Mets a lot of credit for what they've done thus far. I have to give a lot of credit to the manager, Luis Rojas, because of the way he keeps this club on an even keel. Nothing seems to faze him. I think he transmits and translates that very well to the team. This is a team that just doesn't give up. They have a lot of guys here. As Terry Collins used to say when he managed this team, don't tell me about the guys that aren't here. Tell me about the guys that are here, because those are the guys I can use to help me win. Well, that's exactly what the guys here are doing. You know, the Jose Perazas, the Jonathan Villars, guys who have filled in, even the Billy McKinneys and Brandon Drury's and people like that. Tomas Nito has been terrific behind the plate. They've shifted James McCann to first base while Alonso was out. So they're just trying to find bats at this point in time. It's not a potent lineup. I think we know that. They're obviously offensively challenged, but they've been getting great pitching. They had terrific defense in the doubleheader sweep of the Rockies, and they took 3 of 4. So we'll see. Atlanta comes in over the weekend. It's a big test for them. Atlanta is a little banged up. They've lost Marcelo Ozuna. They obviously have some key injuries. Mike Soroka, one of their better pitchers, exploratory Achilles surgery after the Achilles problem he had last year. So things haven't exactly worked out for Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Mets are the only team in the National League East above 500. Everybody else is below 500. Everybody else has problems. Everyone else has injuries, not as many as the Mets, but the Mets have persevered, and that's why they're at 24-20. So we'll see if it keeps up this weekend against Atlanta, but it's a good chance for the Mets to increase their lead because they played very well at Citi Field, 14-5 thus far at Citi Field in the 19 games they played. We'll be back with more and another Mets podcast down the line.